Well, good morning, New Hope Church.
Good morning.
Man, you guys are getting good at that. Wow. You guys are excited to be here. I'm excited that you're excited to be here. We are in our last message of our series on the theology and worship. And it's so funny. I got to give you a little context here because I remember back home, I was an associate pastor. We had our lead pastor. And every so often, we have to share something for us pastors that it's hard to share. And it's on generosity. It's on money. So you are here at the right time, at the right place, because you actually get back home. My pastor would be like, hey, Jeremy, it's the time of month or the time of our year that we need to talk about generosity and stewardship. And I'm like, nope, I pass. You can have that one, Pastor. Well, I don't have a lead pastor no more to go to and tell him no. So guess what? My first sermon, my first message on stewardship and money. And you guys get to grade me afterwards, okay? I'm just kidding. You're not allowed to grade. Just say I did a good job and it'll be okay. We'll make it through this, right? But my wife's going, oh, what is he doing up there right now? I'm preparing myself. It's funny because I'm going to speak into this from a perspective that we have walked through. You know, most of you know my background, and we had nothing. We had nothing. And there was a point in time where we felt like we wanted to walk in obedience with God, and we really wanted to start walking this principle out because, you know, I was this person. You know, I'd go out to eat with family or with friends. And as soon as the check came, I started looking at the ceiling. Who's getting the check? Not me. The ones who are laughing understand what I'm saying. But as we grew in our faith and as God challenged us in our walk with Him, even when we had literally nothing, just barely able to pay the bills, God called us to do something. And we started that process, and it's taken 10 years to get to a place where we don't even worry about it anymore. We give our first fruits. And let me tell you a story about my first fruits. I might have shared it, and some of you might have heard it, but as God was wrestling with me, I love fishing. And I was out fishing and back home, and I was like, okay, God wants my first fruits. What's that look like? You know, back in the day, it wasn't about money. It was about grain and herds of and animals and giving God back, like Cain and Abel. We all know the story of Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel, and they got in a fight, and God wasn't pleased with Abel's or Cain's offering because it wasn't his first fruits. It wasn't his best. God deserves our best because He gave us His best, and that's His Son. And so we get to the spot where we're like, oh my God, what does this mean? This first fruits thing. Like, we might have been given $5 a week. That's what we could afford. That's all we had. We were giving Him what we could, and we did it with joyful and sincere hearts. And so anyway, I'm out there fishing. I'm like, okay, I'm going to test God in this. Because this is scripture said, test God in this. Test me in this. And I throw my worm out there, sitting there relaxing. There goes my pole. Bing, bing, bing. I'm like, whoa. Reel it in. It's like a walleye, like this big. If you don't know, if you don't eat fish, walleye is like some of the best fish. Okay. Well, we're doing the hand raising thing, right? If you're a liar, you can go like that big. It's my fish story. Leave me alone. So there's a thing we did a couple weeks ago on worship. Actually, the first series, talked about raise. He's like, you know, when you worship, you can say, you can do, my fish was this big. If you're a liar, you can go, my fish was this big. You had to have been here. It's good. Anyway, and I caught this fish. And I'm like, oh, it was the right size. I could take it home. Is that better, the right size? It was legal to take home. And I'm like, really, God? And I wrestled with him. Really? You want this fish? My first fruits, My first fish, you want the best? Because I'm hungry. You don't get to catch walleye all the time. And I struggled with it, and eventually, God won, you know. He broke my hip like he did, you know. I gave the fish back. And I'm like, God, this ain't cool. You better let me catch one bigger than that one. Anyway, I failed. I'm telling you now, I failed at this test. Because I gave the fish back. And then about 10 minutes later, it was like belly up, floating in the thing. I was like, that's a sign from God that I can keep it. So I took my hook, I threw it out there, and I reeled it back in. I was like, hey, I can't just let it die for nothing. I failed the test. You see what I'm saying? But it's okay, because God doesn't give up on us even when we do fail. Even when we don't give him our best, he still offers his best no matter how we see it or how we do it. So here it is. You got to understand that the Bible has over 2,000 scriptures on generosity, money, stewardship. Jesus spoke more about money than he did anything else before, more than he did about heaven and hell. Why? Why is this such a common thing? Because this is something that we need to know, because our heart is tied to our money. And when we just sang that song, we give it all to you. He wants our heart. If our heart's more tied in with our money than with him, then it becomes an idol. You're worshiping something that he's blessed you. You're worshiping the gift and not the giver. You got to understand the creator of the universe, the one who spoke the galaxies into existence, the one who knows every star by name and named every star by name. He spent that much time. Think about it. He spent that much time in the Bible talking about how we are supposed to handle money. What I mean by that is this is not some kind of little side issue. This is a big issue in God's eyes. I mean, think about it. We sing worship songs. We pray beautiful prayers. We've talked about the theology of worship and the preaching. Up to this point, everybody's done, you know, the first week we did a worship thing. The next week we did baptisms. This last week we did a prayer thing in here. This week's on generosity. And I hope, I'm not asking you to give at the end of the service here. It's not what I'm going to do. But what I am going to ask you to do is go home and pray about this. Because it's not me. It's between you and God. And I know there's a lot of religious thoughts and beliefs out in the world that you need to give money. You need to give a tenth. It's biblical. Jesus doesn't teach that. He doesn't teach that. My prayer was that this was going to be a short sermon, so I didn't have to preach that long on money. Doesn't look to be going that way. I haven't even got into my notes yet. I don't even know where I'm at anymore. Right? Start all over. I mean, think about it. We sing these songs. We pray beautiful prayers. We talk about theology every Sunday and what God has for us. But when it comes to our wallets, when it comes to that moment when we have to actually trust God with the resources that he's already given us, that's a little shaky. But this is where the rubber really meets the road. This is one of the most challenging things to practice for some people. Because there are spiritual gifts that God gives us. And we've done this in our rooted class. Some people are just natural givers because they understand that when you give, so let me say it this way. If I don't teach you about giving, then you're not going to receive the blessings that God has for you. God doesn't want something from you. He wants something for you. And usually that's tied to something that's really tied to our heart. So here's my question for you today. Are you going to worship God with your first fruits? Yeah, we'll see. Are you just going to be generous with your leftovers? Because there is a difference. And that difference might just be the key to experiencing God's faithfulness in your life in a way that you've never experienced it before. I can tell you, as we've grown in our faith and our walk with our giving, we don't even think about it no more. It's become such a natural behavior for us that we don't even think about tithe or paying our bills. We don't think about our tithe because it comes out first. Our tithe comes out of our paychecks before we even pay our bills. And I can tell you from practice and challenge and all of this that we're still very well taken care of. God takes care of our needs. Is it what we want? Probably not. Is it what we need? Absolutely. Again, God wants our hearts. He doesn't want us to be tied to something so much that we forget who gave it to us. So worship is more than just a Sunday morning. Romans 12, if you've got your Bibles, Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. One of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Look at that phrase. It says, true and proper. Paul just redefined everything that we thought we knew about worship. He didn't say sing louder on Sundays. He didn't say raise your hands higher on a Sunday. No. He says offer your body as a living sacrifice. And here's where Paul gets real. Paul says that this worship happens in view of God's mercy. And before we talk about what we give to God, when we give back to God, we need to talk about what God has given to us first. We need to see in light of what He's offered us before we can even think about giving anything back to Him. Because you can't give what you don't receive. You can't give what you don't receive. What has God given you? He's given you your breath, your life, your lungs, your family, your abilities, your opportunities that come. The very fact that you're sitting here instead of judgment of your sin because we're not good people, that's His mercies that He gives us daily. He blesses us and gives us more every day that you don't even comprehend it. Because He's constantly there providing and giving and doing, and you walk about your day and you don't even see it. Protecting all the time. And when you really understand the mercy of God, God doesn't become a burden. When you understand the mercy that He's given us, it doesn't become a burden, it becomes a response. It becomes an overflow. It becomes worship. It becomes your worship. But here's where we mess up. We all mess up. So don't worry, you don't have to raise your hand because in my mind, you're all raising your hand. I'm raising my hand. We think that we can worship God on Sunday with our voices and live our lives on Monday through Saturday, but Paul says our whole life. That means at work, when you're at school, everything that you do becomes worship. Your time, when you give your time to somebody else, you can do it for yourself or you can do it to worship God. Here's what we got to understand. The world tells me that I own things. I own my shoes and the pants that I got on. But let me help you change your perspective. We are only managers. We're not owners. Now, I need you to shift. I want to help shift your perspective on something that's really going to change everything about how you view money and your possessions. We own nothing. We own nothing. We're not the owners. You might be saying, well, Pastor, well, I work for my money. I think we've already come to terms that God gave you that job. Yeah, you work for your money. With the brain that God gave you, with the strength that God gives you, with the opportunities that He provides, and the economy that He sustains, the very breath in the air that you breathe, He supplies. But I've earned this house, Pastor. Yeah, you did. With the job that God opened up for you, with the wisdom that God granted you in order to get that job, with the health that God maintains, that house that's built on the very earth that God created. Imagine this. Just imagine for a minute. You go on vacation and you call up your friend or your kid or whoever it is and you say, hey, I'm going on vacation. Will you house sit for me? They say yes. You give them the keys. You show them where everything is. You say, make, what do we say? Make yourself at home. That's a loaded question. Make yourself at home. At home. The water, they water your plants, they feed your dog, they clean up after themselves. That's all great, right? Now imagine when you come home, they start acting like it's their own house. They've painted a wall, they've rearranged the furniture. They kept everything in order, and you're thinking, hold up, this is my house. You see, they didn't own the house. They were just managing it for you while you were gone. That's us with God. Everything we have, our jobs, our influence, our families, our finances, it's all His. We're not the owners. We're the house sitters. And when we remember that, it shifts our whole perspective on things. You stop clinging to the things. You start stewarding the things. You stop stressing about what's yours and you start asking, God, how do you want me to handle what you've put into my hands? It's all yours. How do you want me to manage it? Listen, I'm not trying to minimize all of your hard work. Believe me, I know hard work. I'm not trying to minimize the hard work. I'm trying to maximize your perspective on what God gives us. When you realize that everything that you have is on loan from God, it changes everything about how you handle the things of God. There's a story in Matthew 25, 14 through 30, and it's a parable about the three people that they're managers, and this guy gives them, the boss man gives them talents, and these talents, you gotta understand, talents are like worth $1 million. So each one got five, each one got another one got one got five, one got two, one got one. And they took all the, you know the story, right? They took it, and the first two guys, they invested the money. And they come back, and look, I took your five, and I doubled it. The second guy comes back with his two talents. Look, I took it, and I doubled it. And the third one said, I took your money, and I buried a hole, and dug a hole and buried your money. And this is his response. To the two that doubled the money, and I struggled with this when I first started reading this back early on. Like, I would have dug a hole and buried it. What's wrong with that? Why would I chance his money? Why would I even, like, why would I chance and lose it? Because I'm not good with money. Well, I'm better, a lot better than I used to be. But I knew when I read this, I'm like, I've buried it so I don't get in trouble. At least I give him back his money, right? And so they go on, and the first two people who double the money, the master says, the master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come share your master's happiness. But the guy who dug the hole and put the money in it, it says, and he told these other first two people, well done, good and faithful servant. That should be what you're thriving for. When you get to the pearly gates and Jesus said, he's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. In order to do that, we got to get our heart away from the things that we cling to and for kingdom results. Does that make sense? So what he's talking about is a kingdom difference here. And so anyway, the last guy, he comes in, and I like this because I don't know why, but he's like, you know, you're not a good servant, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, you're going to go to a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. Why is that? Because he didn't take what God had given him to build the kingdom. Because the first two guys who had the money and they doubled it, that money was the owner's money. That was God's money that went into God's kingdom to... Because those guys' heart was right. We'll talk about the heart, but does that make sense? 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, Paul writes, and he says, now it is required of those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must be proved faithful. We flip the script with God, though. He loans us everything, and we act like we're doing him a favor when we give him back what is already his. It's already his, and we're like we're doing him a favor. That's not generosity. Here's the truth. It's like stealing from God. It's like stealing from him. Giving reveals our heart. Let's get practical here, because I know that what some of you are thinking, Pastor, this sounds like great theory, but you don't know my situation. Jesus does. That's in the Bible too. Can I tell you something? God's not asking you to give what you don't have. He's asking you to give what you do have. Sometimes that's not always money. Sometimes that's time. Sometimes that's serving. Sometimes that's going out of your way to help somebody. It's not just about money. It's not about your comfort. He's asking you to give what you do have, and he's asking you to give with the right heart when you do it. Oh, I got to go help this person today again. Why can't they do it right? Why can't they just, you know, fill in the blank? Here's what Jesus says. Jesus sat down, Mark 12:41-44. For all my amazing note takers out there. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were being put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins. Just say two pennies. Worth only a few cents. Jesus calls his disciples to him and he says, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. This moment shows that God doesn't measure our giving by the amount of money that we give, but by the heart and the sacrifice behind it. The widow didn't give leftovers. She gave all that she had. And Jesus called it the greatest gift. Isn't it crazy how Jesus just turns everything upside down? Turns everything upside down. Man, he's smart. Let me give you an example here. Oh man, we're getting... I paid like, I don't know, $6-7 for this water. It was at Hoover Dam. Right? This is expensive water. I like... It says path on it. That's why I was saying path. Now she's like, I said path. She's like, what is he talking about? Now she's going to get it. This was an expensive water. To some of you, you might have a perspective of I'm wasting this expensive water. All of it. I just lost $6-7 worth of water. I don't remember what the price was. It was not cheap water, let's just say that. But that depends on how you look at it. It depends on how you see it. Because how I see it is I just took this water and all I did was move it. I moved it somewhere else. And the reason why I'm able to pour out my $6 or $7 water is because I know where my source is. I know when I take this water and I move it, I know that my source that I'm connected to has more than enough. To refill it. But here's even more. Guess what just happened? If I wouldn't have moved my water, it would have become stagnant. And I don't know about you, but man, I want fresh, living water all the time. You see what I'm saying here? I'm moving water, so when God gives me and blesses me with things, I'm able to take the blessings that He's given me, move them somewhere else, because when my hands are always open, my hands are able to receive more. But the more that I close them and keep everything to myself as if I own them, there's no room for any fresh anything. I would never have the experience to receive and experience the joy of fresh, clean water. I don't know about you. I don't know where you stand, but I like to move things. I like fresh food. I like fresh water. My source never runs dry. I know from experience, the more that I can bless others, the more my hands stay open. And my source never runs out. That's exactly what happens when we give to God. God doesn't need your money. He doesn't need your money. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He spoke galaxies into existence. He doesn't wake up in the morning and check his bank account. I do. Obviously. Obviously. He makes the sun rise and go down. God doesn't need your money. But he wants you to give. Why? Because giving reveals what's in your heart. And the more than that, giving shapes what's in your heart. It changes you. It makes you less about you and more about his kingdom. More about others, loving others as yourselves. Come on, there are people in the world who give millions of dollars to organizations and aren't even Christians. What does that say? Why do they give? Because they buy behind something. They say, you know what, I've got money, I've got finances, I've got time, I can serve, I want to help, because their heart is in it. It shapes them. Jesus said it this way, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You know I got to unpack that for you, right? I wrestled with it for a while and I'm like, man, okay, what does that really mean? Notice he doesn't say where your heart is, your treasure will be. He said where your treasure is, your heart will be. Imagine two people. And they both say they love family and family values is the most important thing to them. Okay? They value family above all else. Person A spends their money on expensive hobbies, luxury items, solo vacations, but complains when they can't afford a family trip of activities with their kids. Person B puts money towards family experiences, camping gear for weekend retreats, saving for family vacations, music lessons with their children, and regular date nights with their spouse. The treasure came first in both cases. The treasure was the family that they had, that they said that they belonged to. But which one showed their heart? Where your treasure is, your heart will follow. You want family? Invest in family. Stop investing in yourself and then complaining because you can't afford to do family things because you've made it about you. Your hobbies, your goals, the things that you want to do. If you're a family person, then put your money in your family. If you want to hear, we come to church every Sunday. Because we have a heart for God's kingdom, right? We want to know what God wants. We want his blessings. We want all of everything that he has for us. Then start putting your treasure in this kingdom. You got to understand, I'm not that pastor that talks about money. Let me tell you, I don't know what you people give. I've never looked. I don't want to look. I don't care. I care. I just care that you're sowing into the kingdom of God. I don't care about how much. That's between you and God. But I don't want you to miss the blessings on the other side of this, obedience. When you give to the local church, you're not just helping with its bills and keeping the lights on and the fan and the air conditioning and all of this stuff that we have here. You're fueling missions. You see our mission wall out there. You're fueling people who are taking the gospel to other countries. When you give, you helped us be able to redo the kids' zone and buy new furniture and do that so the kids have a wonderful place to have Bible studies and do all that fun stuff. When you give, you're launching future ministry, Celebrate Recovery, Financial Peace University, Marriage Matters. These are things that God has given me that I want our church to do in the future. But it takes a group of people to buy into this mission and this vision in order to sustain this stuff. Because God can make it happen like this, but He wants you involved in it. When we give, we get involved in what God's doing. He does for us what we can't do for ourselves. I want to knock that wall out right there, people. Why do I want to knock that wall down? Because I don't want to do two services. I want to build a new worship center over there so we can have one big church. You get to be a part of this. You get to do this. You don't have to do this. And when you give, the church, as you know, if you don't know, because I was like, oh, I'm giving to the church. No, you're giving to God. But when you give through the church manages, because we believe in good stewardship, that we're not the owners, that we are the managers, and our leadership team, and our Mary, where she's with the kids. she takes care of all that, the moving of money and stuff, and I just say up or down like that. That's it. You know, we manage the gifts that you give to pour back into the kingdom. Through our missionaries, through our kids' ministries, all these things that we're doing, it takes you to do it, the church. Here's what I love about God. He doesn't want your grudging compliance either. Oh, they're going to ask for money again. I feel like Eeyore today. It's a heart thing. I don't care how much. I just want you to partake in the blessings behind it. He doesn't want our grudging compliance. He wants joyful participation. If you can't be joyful in giving back to God what's already His anyway, we have a heart problem. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart. No, each of you should give what Pastor Jeremy tells you to get. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. I'm not asking you guys for money. That's not what we're doing here today. I'm not asking you for money. I'm challenging you to step into obedience. Each of you give or decided what's in your heart, not reluctant or under compulsion. God loves a cheerful giver. Did you get that? Cheerful. The original Greek word here literally means hilarious. Cheerful means hilarious in the Greek. That means God doesn't just want you to give, He wants you to crack up laughing when you do it. He wants you to give with so much joy that people look at you and say, wait, you gave what? Are you okay? And you just smile and say, I'm better than okay. I'm blessed. I'm a blessing. I'm blessed to be a blessing. Hear what I'm saying. It's not about the amount. It's not about the amount. Whole life worship through giving. Back to Romans 12, 1 through 2. Paul calls us to be living sacrifices. Now here's the problem with the living sacrifice. Once you lay it down, because it's living, it likes to crawl away. You guys didn't get it. Every time we say, I lay down my life, I lay down my kids, I lay down this, my job, I lay it all down. But what we find is that it's living and it crawls away. It very easily crawls right back off the altar. It crawls off the altar every day for some of us. And we have to choose to lay our lives down again and again and again, one day at a time. One of the most practical ways we do this is through our giving. When we give, we're saying, God, my life is not my own. My resources are not my own. My future is not my own. I trust you with all of it. That's whole life worship. That's what it means to be transformed by renewing of your mind instead of conforming to the patterns of this world. The world says, it's mine, I own it. The world says, get all you can and keep all you get. But the kingdom says you can't outgive God. So give until it hurts and give until it heals. Here's your challenge. Here's my challenge for you today. I want you to I was all over the place today. A challenge for you today, and I want you to listen, not with your wallets. This ain't about a wallet, a money number amount. That's not what this is. I'm going to ask you to simply a simple question. What is your next step of generosity? Notice I didn't say how much are you going to give. I ask, what's your next step? Because God meets us where you are. But he loves you too much to leave you there. Maybe you're here today and you've made New Hope Church your home. We have missions and values and these things that God is calling us to do. Are you going to stand behind that and help us build the kingdom of God right here in Moapa Valley? And maybe you've been curious about the giving thing because I've never talked about it in 8 months, 7 months since I've been here. Does that make sense? I say that, I'm boasting, because I can't not talk about it. I can't not talk about it because there's promises that God provides in this. So for me not to talk about it is me not stewarding God's message well. You're new to our church. Maybe this is your first time here. You know what? I was going to say, you know, don't even worry about what I'm saying right now. Hope you get some little nuggets out of it. But who would I be to be disobedient to God to not allow you to have the blessings of God by not telling you the truth? I was going to say, don't worry about, you know, just take your time. I'm doing you a disservice because God wants to bless you. Again, maybe you're new to our church and curious about giving, but you've never taken that first step yet. Your next step is simple. Just give for the first time. It doesn't matter if it's $5, $1, 5 cents, $50, $1,000. What matters is that you stepped into the flow of God's generosity. The first step. You don't have to figure out the rest of your life. It's just the first step. You mean, I'm not going to be able to pay my bills next month if I give $5. Dude, you're thinking way far ahead and not trusting God. Just take the next step. Maybe you've given before. I got some cards. We did our rooted groups, and money is one of the conversations we have. And I got quite a few cards from our rooted group on this topic. Maybe you've given before, but it's been random. Whenever you remember, or whenever you feel like it, your next step might be to be consistent in your giving. Give on a regular basis. There's something powerful about a rhythm in your relationship with God when you give consistently. You're not just giving money, you're building a lifestyle of trust in God. That's where we started. Our first step in that, set our phone, our church center app, put in a dollar amount, put it on reoccurring. Every time we got paid, it was the first thing that came out of our check. Might not have been a tithe, a tenth of, you know, but that was our first step. We wanted to give consistently. Perhaps you've been faithful. God, praise you for those faithful. Even the ones that come before us. Because this building wouldn't be here if the people before us didn't give. We wouldn't have this building and all this awesome stuff if the people before us didn't get it right. Perhaps you've been faithful in your giving, but there's a difference between consistency and true obedience. God isn't looking for your leftovers or your comfortable excess extra. He's calling you to honor Him with your first fruits, the very best of what He entrusted you with. That takes time. Proverbs 3, 9 through 10 makes it clear. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with your first fruits of all your crops. Get this. Then your barns will be filled and overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. This isn't about giving to God that's convenient. It's not about convenience. It's about giving Him what costs you something that requires you to trust Him more. It requires you to trust Him to be your provider. The first fruit principle means, like I talked about with my fishing story, it's complicated. I'm not even going to say it's easy. But what's your next step? First fruit principle means that God gets the first portion, not the last. It means that your tithe comes before your bills, your mission giving happens before your vacation fund, your generosity towards others flows from the heart that has already said yes to God's claim on your resources. He's already claimed it, it's already His. True obedience is giving, and giving isn't about the amount. Again, I keep saying that, I hope you're hearing me here. It's not about the amount. It's about the heart posture that says, everything I have belongs to you, Lord. And when you give from faith rather than excess, you create space for God to demonstrate His faithfulness in ways that will strengthen your trust in Him. This is why He speaks about money and stewardship over 2,000 times. Because He wants us to trust Him. Let God stretch your faith, both through consistent stewardship, sacrificial generosity. Honor Him with your first fruits and watch how He honors your obedience. Obedience is God's love language. You want to be blessed? Do what He says. He'll bless you for that. So as we close, I got to talk to another group of people. Maybe you've been given faithfully, and thank you so much. Thank you, church, for all those people who give faithfully. And you're thinking, Pastor, what's my next step? Well, here's a wild idea for you above and beyonders. Test God by raising your giving 1%. Maybe you're given 5%, give 6. Maybe you're given your tithe, give an extra 1. Add some more money to missions. I don't know. That's not between me. I'm just giving you pointers. It's between you and God. I know it sounds crazy, but listen to this. In Malachi 3:10 is the only place in Scripture where God says, test me. It says, bring your whole tithe. He's talking money. He's talking, not even money. He's talking first fruits. He's talking, because back then they didn't necessarily have money. It was grain and wheat and all these things. It says, bring your whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. He says, test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. Could you imagine if all of us lived by that principle? We could tear this whole building down and build a new one and reach not just this community. No, we wouldn't tear this building down, so I'm not saying that. We're going to add on to this building, but imagine if people got their heart right with God and we knew that our source was ever an overflowing and never stops flowing. And we planted a church in Mesquite, and we planted a church over here. We have New Hope churches all over. People are getting saved. People are getting baptized. People are finding hope. It's because you put your money where your heart is. And we wouldn't even know what to do with it. I know what we would do with it. We'd raise up a whole nother generation of young people being pastors. We'd finance their schooling. I mean, there's so many things that we could do. If you're given 5, give 6. If you're given 10, give 11. See what God does when you take a step of faith. Listen, I'm not the Holy Spirit here. I can't tell you what your next step is. But I can tell you this, God has a next step for every person in this room. And it's not about what you can afford. It's about what you can trust God with. Every time you give, you're declaring that your life is not your own. You're participating in the greatest act of worship possible, surrendering everything to the one who already gave it to you to begin with. Don't let your current circumstances limit God's future provision for you. Maybe you're in this room, you've never given your life to Jesus. That's your best gift right there. Maybe you're in this room and you've never given your life to Jesus. You've never surrendered your heart to Him. That's the most important gift right now that He wants from you. That's it. That's the one thing that He wants the most of, and that's your heart. So with every head bowed, every eye shut. I know this is a hard topic. I know it's money is really close to our hearts. But God, tear down those walls. Change our perspective. Help us to see the light of your kingdom in all of this. And Father, I pray if there's somebody in this room today that needs to just start with their next step by giving their life to you. Every head's bowed, every eye shut. Just raise your hand up. I'm the only one looking. If you want to surrender your life to Jesus, thank you, sir. I see you back there. Amazing. Amazing. Thank you. I see you. God, you're so good. Even in the midst of a money talk, you're still saving lives. Come on. It's the same God who blessed the givers in the early church in Acts 2 when He says they had everything in common and they were selling everything they had so that nobody was in need. The same God who blessed the givers in that early church want to hear your prayer of surrender right now too. Let us be like that early church in Acts 2. So Father, thank you for your incredible mercy towards us. Thank you for trusting us to be managers of your resources. What a privilege it is that you see us even as managers. Right now I speak to every heart about their next step in their generosity. For some in this room, we just need to give our lives to you. Some need to begin. Some need to be consistent. Some need to be sacrificial. And some need to test you with their increased faith. For those of you or those in here, it's a simple prayer. Say, you know, you just repeat this in your heart. And Father, I've missed the mark. I've been living in a world like I own everything. I've tried to run my life. I've tried to do things my way because I've made it all about me. And today I surrender. I give you my heart. I turn. The word is repent. I turn and repent from my way of living my life, and I offer this gift to you, my heart. Come into my life. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me so that I could have new birth, I could have new life. And I believe that he was raised again 3 days later, proving that he is who he says he is. And that is God. God with us. And Father, for the rest of us, help us to see giving is not just as something that we have to do, but something that we get to do. God, when we give, we're not giving to the church, we're giving it to invest it into your kingdom, to do what you want with it. Transform our hearts through our giving. Transform the hearts of the people around us through our giving. Let us be hilarious when we give and people say them people are crazy because they give with joy and love because they know where the provision and where the source comes from and it's never ending. That's funny. Let's be that kind of funny. Make us people who reflect your generous heart to the world. In Jesus' name. Everyone says, amen. 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 Okay, we're going to pass the bucket around. Just kidding. Just kidding. I'm just kidding. I can't let you walk out of here without knowing what God says. You know me. I'm not going to shy away from it. But I do know the blessing behind it. God wants to bless. God wants to bless you so that you can be a blessing to someone else. If you're new, take that card, fill that card out for me. We got some next steps on here, small groups, salvation. If you want to volunteer, baptism, any of those things, fill that out. There's prayer requests at the bottom. If you got a prayer request, fill that out. Like I said, we've got a group that meets here on Tuesdays, praying over prayer requests for our church, for the people in our church, for people in our families, our military, our government, all of it. We're praying for all of it, and it's such an amazing time. So if you have any prayer requests, add that to the card. Take it to the back. Vanette's back there. Love to connect with you. And next week, potluck. Elmer, you still good? Okay. He's bringing us some smoked brisket. Woo! Smoked brisket. Hey, I got to tell you this, though, because we are growing. Our church is growing. And so if you can help out by bringing a dish, please do that. We don't want to run out. We want to have fellowship. We want to break bread together. Bring a side dish. Like I said, out on the table, there's a sign-up sheet. Fill that out. Even if you don't fill it out, bring something. Because I like food. I didn't get any last time. Gotta be fast. Do us a favor. Bring a dish. Bring a dish. If you want to bring like something big, I'd go ahead and put that on the thing back there. But this is a great time to have community, meet people. Just hang out and eat food, right? That's all I got for you guys. Bible study tomorrow. Prayer group on Tuesday. Wednesday, we have our youth. It doesn't launch till next month, but we are doing an event for the youth for the 4th to 12th grade, right? 4th to 12th grade. Bring your kids, drop them off. They don't let me come to those events no more. I get everybody in trouble. Anyway, we love you guys. Have a blessed week.